Kane is in the building.
Hello and welcome back to another 3P podcast episode. This is season 6, episode 3. Once again, I'm your host, Josh Fromwitz, and joined by me are my other co-hosts,
Alex Castle,
Steven Benazzo.
And once again, we are joined by our social media guy, our regular co-host, TJ Hummel, man of everything, not just man of many hats. I don't even know what to call him. TJ, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure, boys. Always a pleasure.
We got a lot to talk about. We got some New York winners from all sports to talk about. Stevie, not really the result he was looking for on Sunday Night Football, but we'll talk some more Bears and where there's room for panic or things to look forward to as a Bears fan. We'll dive into some teams that we might start worrying about because, yeah, it's two games, but some of their results really have not been impressive. And your favorite segment, Starms and Sit-ems. We'll wrap up the show with that. And if there's time, there's this 6'7" man in New York making history. I don't know if you guys know who that is, so I'll leave you with that. Castle, TJ, your football team is currently tied for the best record in the NFL. I know it's music to your ears. Victory Monday is back-to-back week. Joe Ruback has called it because he probably predicted them to go undefeated. So he's 2/16, 2/17 of the way there. So I'm sure he's thrilled. But seriously, like two hard-fought wins because they weren't blowouts by any means. But week one, coming back from behind, down 13 at half. And then battling back some gutsy play calls late to take the lead. And then this week, your home opener against the Panthers really didn't surrender the lead at all, I believe, correct? You led the entire game?
I don't think we ever surrendered the lead.
But you might have been tied.
Yeah.
Okay. But you never lost the lead at any
point. No.
Okay. But it was like your special teams came to play, and that was really the factor of that game. So what really, Castle, has impressed you most? Because week one, it was an offensive showing where the defense really didn't show up. And then week two was a completely different story.
I think what impressed me the most about this past week is the defense. You know, you talk about last season, talking about the Giants. Myself, along with TJ, we were very high on Patrick Graham. We really wanted him to stay with the organization. We really thought that he was the answer. But now looking at only two games, and I know it's only two games, but looking at what Wink Martindale is doing with this defense, sending guys like Julian Love and Xavier McKinney to the quarterback to blitz, it's just so fun to watch. That's what would impress me was the defense and the creativity Wink used with the play calling. Special teams, you know, we caused, I think it was one fumble we caused, and then the other one was caused by the defense. So it was good to see the special team showing up. Actually, really good to see them showing up considering our previous head coach was a special teams guy. So it's kind of funny to see how that's transpired, but it was the defense. That's what impressed me the most. It was a great win, but definitely some frustrations and definitely some takeaways for sure.
And TJ, for you, I'm sure you're going to harp on the same things as Castle, so I don't want you to do that, but I've noticed, and I really haven't been able to watch much of the Giants the couple of weeks just because with Red Zone and the Jets, really haven't been able to watch much Giants, but I have noticed a pattern where Coach Dable is not afraid to put his foot down, which is what you want from a coach. And whether that means your stars are playing and he doesn't give a shit how many reps that is. And we saw that with Saquon getting fed the ball, however many times it was week one, being that beast workhorse, or whether it's week two, where he really didn't give a shit if that meant Kenny Golladay wasn't going to play. How do you feel as a fan? Are you okay with that? Or can you get behind that? Or are you like, okay, maybe you need to chill out a little bit?
It's absolutely something I can get behind. And I think Dave's put it best. I believe the last week of camp, he, with all the speculations of cutting Slayton or trading Slayton, possibly trading KG, he said that the players have to earn their playing time. And I think, like any coach, you're gonna play who's putting in the work, both on the actual playing field on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, or during the course of the week when you're at the training facility, on the practice field, in the weight room, on watching film. Like, it all makes sense. And I love how you bring up Kenny Golladay, because like it kind of stings a little bit, because it feels like a failed signing that he's not playing. But at the same time, if there's guys like Tony, Bellinger, the tight end, Shep, Slayton, Wandale when he's healthy, even Richie James, they're putting in the work, and it looks like it's paying off, because even though the offense has looked sluggish, they're still the guys that are getting the playing time, still putting in the work. And to me, I don't mind it, except the fact that it just stings just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that part sucks, because if you put it into perspective, you signed Kenny Golladay to be the star receiver. He's probably one of the top 10 highest paid receivers in the NFL, and essentially a scratch on Sunday and getting no field action is really concerning for his status. Cass, we were talking in the group chat earlier, and I know you had some bold predictions. What do you think you'll see Kenny Golladay being a Giant for the rest of the year? You think he'll be gone soon? What's the deal?
Timetable is to be determined, but I do not think Kenny Golladay will be a Giant by the end of the season. Not only is there this culture now with Dable that you have to earn your spot, which I think is not working for Golladay, because the vibe that I get from him is that I was paid all this money, I shouldn't have to prove anything. Terrible attitude. But I think with that, plus the rumors that have been floating around about Dable talking to these free agent wide receivers, I think there's slowly plans in the works to trade him. I don't know who would take his contract. I think a team's going to have to really gamble on that, considering I don't think he had a touchdown last season, hasn't had a touchdown so far this season. So he hasn't, that's a season in two games that he hasn't gotten a touchdown.
He hasn't scored since he was a Detroit Lion.
Right. So on the outside looking in, some teams might think that's a huge gamble, but I think other teams will be like, it's a system issue, it's a personnel issue. So I think by the end of the season, we'll see Golladay in another jersey. I know it's tough to say because he has only played X amount of games, but I truly believe that it was a failed signing. And I think you can already tell that the offense is straying away from him. I mean, we're paying this guy all of this money and we've won the first two games without him doing anything. So I think it's time to move on. When it's going to happen, I don't know, but I will be shocked if he finishes out the season with this team.
As will I. And I mean, we could go on forever and list teams that could take on his contract. But ultimately, I think what would happen is the Giants would have to eat a big portion of that contract, because that's a lot of money that no team in their right mind would want to take on. Even the Bears, because they're a rebuilding team, I don't think they would want his contract. But Stevie, while I mention your Bears, it definitely was not the Sunday Night Football you were dreaming of. It was probably one that you might have thought is realistic to happen. Sadly, it did happen. But what is your, are you worried about this team going forward? Where's your head at right now?
I mean, I knew they weren't going to be contenders in the beginning of the year. And that opening game win, I think, kind of messed with a lot of fans' mindset that, oh, we beat the Niners, we can be contenders. Listen, you know, I mean, they did not really look, especially the offense looked awful Sunday night. I mean, Fields, I think, attempted 11 total passes. He had 70 yards and interception late. You know, and then, you know, I was watching some of the film from Bears media posting on Twitter. And, you know, there were some reads where Justin Fields had open guys and just didn't make them. So, listen, going forward, you know, I don't expect them to win a lot of games. This week against Houston, I think we can win. You know, I think if we can beat the Niners, and I mean, I thought for the most part, we played the Packers relatively well. I mean, we ran the ball tremendously against them, much better than we did against the 49ers. Defensively, allowed some big plays, but really it was just the rookie Kyler Gordon that was getting picked on by Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think Davis Mills is going to be picking on, you know, Kyler Gordon in this defense. And then we play the Giants, and the Giants are playing well, but it could go both ways. Like, not going to lie, Giants look good, but Daniel Jones still really doesn't look good. Daniel Jones doesn't look like he's a playoff caliber QB. You know, I think their defense and Saquon is really what's keeping the Giants going right now. I think if it was up to Daniel Jones himself, I don't think he can win you guys a game. Just saying. And listen, Fields, you can say the same too, because he hasn't really, you know, like last week, he didn't look as good. So all I want to see is, listen, if the games don't rack up the W's, you know, I'm not going to be like, what the hell? Like, this season we were supposed to be playoff contenders. No, that was more 2019, coming off that 12-4 season when the offense struggled. Defense was still pretty good and we missed out on the playoffs. That was that. This year, I knew they weren't going to be playoff contenders. I knew it. So really, I just want to see the guys playing well, them having faith and trust in this, in the coaches and their schemes, and improvement from certain guys like Justin Fields, the old line as a unit. You know, I really liked what I saw from Tevin Jenkins. You know, the rookie Braxton Jones, the left tackle, you know, listen, he's a rookie. He's a fifth round pick. So yeah, I know he's not going to look that good that out there, but if he can, you know, and he's going against Bosa, Preston Smith, like he's going against some top guys just in his first two games. So I just want to see improvement and consistent play week in, week out. And listen, you know, if we don't make the playoffs, whatever, I'd rather see us playing well for all 17 games, then buying into the system, and then let us get a top pick and try to get a guy like Will Anderson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jordan Addison, you know, another top player of the draft. We'll have all this cap space. And then for next year, let's really make things happen. You know, I knew the moves that Ryan Poles made. It was to look for really 2023 and on. He kind of knew this year is a wash. So it's going to be a tough season because you obviously never want to see your team lose. But, I mean, so far, I'm not totally disappointed. I mean, again, the offensive showing was kind of disappointing from this past week, or the passing game, because the running game was tremendous. Like you said, nothing with that. But passing game was very disappointing. But let's see against a team like Houston. You know, let's see, team like the Giants. Giants have been pretty shut down in the passing game. So let's see if we can do it against them, you know, and then beyond, and then just see what happens from there. So it sucks, but I'm used to it.
And then before we move on, One big takeaway, obviously you mentioned the passing game, but I want to dive into that a little more because you have Justin Fields, who you drafted, who you traded up and drafted very early. It seems like there was such a leash and limiting his potential, which it kind of is giving me Nagy vibes in a sense, because the one game last year that he missed from, right, he was sick or something, what, or he had COVID last year, he missed a game.
He hurt his ribs.
Oh, he was actually hurt. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought it was like a sickness, whatever. The one game that he missed coincidentally was Justin Fields' best game of his rookie year, where he was let loose. And I'm not trying to compare the current coach to Matt Nagy. I'm not trying to get at that. Don't think that, Stevie. And I'm just saying from what the offensive standpoint I've seen so far is very limiting his potential. Like you said, 70 yards on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. Darnell Mooney is essentially just a name, and who knows if he's even a person right now. Cole Kmet, I don't even know if he's on the field. Those are two big weapons that Justin Fields could be utilizing, and that could be making him a very successful quarterback. But if you're not, if those guys are just non-existent, not getting open, then something needs to change.
Two things. Let me retract my statement. Who did you say who missed that one game? Was it, are you talking about a coach or one of the quarterbacks?
Well, Matt Nagy missed a game, I believe.
Oh yeah. I think it was COVID. You're right. I don't, for some reason, I thought you were talking about Fields missing a game.
Oh, no. Yeah. Matt Nagy, when he missed a game last year, it was Justin Fields' best game.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe that was that Pittsburgh? I think it might have been Pittsburgh when – anyways, yes, that's my bad. So you were right. Nagy was sick.
Long work day. I got it, Stevie.
Yeah. Well, I'm also coming off a little sickness too. So, you know, anyways, but – Luke Getsy, because Eberflus, the head coach, he, you know, really, it's Luke Getsy's offense. You know, Matt Eberflus said it in his press conferences after the Packers game that the offense, like, they better pass more, pretty much. You know, that's what he said. And Luke Getsy knows that. I mean, he came from Green Bay. He knows what a successful offense looks like. So, and it's like guys like Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, like, yeah, they need to do something. Cole Kmet got targeted once last game and he dropped it. You know, Darnell Mooney, pretty sure targeted once too, and he got tackled behind the line for like -4 yards. So, you know, you got to, especially like, you know, Fields, like these are his like two guys that not only these are his two best weapons, but these are like the two guys he has the most chemistry with. You know, like him and Darnell Mooney were like training all summer, like all off season long. And then, you know, kind of same with Kmet. And plus Kmet's always just been kind of like, you know, Fields is like security blanket. So I'm sure, you know, there, cause everyone's saying Luke Getsy, especially some of the Bears players, like he has what it takes to be an elite offensive coordinator and possibly like hired to be a head coach. So I'm sure he'll figure it out. It's early. And what I think it's difference with, you know, like Matt Nagy, he just had his offense and he didn't tailor it to his players. And I always was harping on that. I think Luke gets just trying to figure out, you know, like the first week they couldn't really run the ball and they passed, you know, okay. It was also the conditions were awful. Sunday night, they couldn't pass a ball, but then they ran. So, you know, so he's, I think, trying to figure out, you know, how to do. And he knows that they don't have a lot of weapons compared to what, you know, what he had in Green Bay with Rodgers and Davante Adams at the time, Aaron Jones, AJ, you know, and with some of these other quarterbacks like Mahomes, Josh Allen, like they have all these lot of weapons. This offense does not, and they don't have the best line. So it's tough, but I think they'll figure it out. I think I got faith in them. I have faith that Fields is the guy. You know, a lot of people are really starting to give up on him real quick after one game. But let's relax. I think everything will be fine.
For any young quarterback, first year, second year, you got to relax a little bit. And
well, look at like Rodgers or half these guys, like Brady, like they didn't play right away. That's why I feel bad for these young quarterbacks.
I'm seeing people riding out Trey Lance because he got hurt. Like people want to move on from him. Like, geez, like give the guy some some slack. Like, he just, his season's over and you're trying to forget about him already. Like, it's ridiculous.
It is. Hey, rookie quarterbacks used to not play until like year 3, 4, or 5. And then even guys like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, if you look at their first couple of years, you would never imagine they would become, you know, what should be future Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. You know, if you look at their stats, you'd be like, wow, they turned into that from that. You know, you got to give these guys time, and that's a problem. No one, everyone thinks that, even Mahomes, you know, he, his whole first rookie year, he missed the whole year, or not missed, like he was
there. He sat behind Alex Smith.
And it helps when he has all these weapons and great coaching like that. But everyone thinks that these young quarterbacks have to be the best from day one, you know, and I listen, myself included, you know, sometimes, but you also got to realize these guys go from playing like kids our age in college to now playing pro bowlers, you know, all pro guys who've been playing at that elite level for more than, you know, they've been like, then they've been maybe playing football or, you know, for a really long time. So you got to give them time to adjust and get used to, you know, they go from like school / football, you know, now they're full-time player, you know, football players. Like, that's their job now. So you got to give these guys a break, especially when they're in tough situations like Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. You know, he got some help now and he's starting to look a lot better. Justin Fields in Chicago. Tua. I mean, look how much better Tua looks. You know, yeah, you could say he's still just dumping off and Waddle and Tyreek are still, you know, are doing everything else. But, like, he came back. Like, that's tough to do against Baltimore from that big of a lead. You know, and he still made the like, it's not like they're handing it off. And these guys, like, he still had to make these throws. And he was still throwing, like, 50-yard bombs. Or even that last one to Jalen Waddle. Like, I mean, that was a tight, you know, contested throw in the end. Like, that was a good throw. Like, you know, I'm not going to say he's the greatest quarterback. But I'm saying, you know, you give him a few years, you give him some weapons, you give him better coaching. And right now he's leading the league. He's tied for first in touchdowns and leading the league in yards. Now, yes, it's after two games. It could fall off drastically. But, you know, I'm saying, like, you got to give these guys time. And people don't like to do that. And they like to write all these guys off, you know. And a guy like Mitch, he doesn't have it really. Guy like Danny Dimes, unfortunately, boys, I don't think he really has. I think he could be a really solid backup. I think if you need him to start certain games, he can be a tremendous, you know, like, awesome backup and guy to fill in these spots. But I don't think he can lead, or maybe not a team like the Giants. He needs to be on like a Chiefs or, you know, like a Chargers even. And even with that, I don't think he'd be able to handle it with that AFC West gauntlet. So
the team we just beat, Stevie, the team that the Giants just beat, that's a team I see him playing for. Let him and Baker duke it out. That would be hilarious.
Even though he got the last laugh over Baker.
But you guys agree
with his post-draft comments, you know?
But you guys agree with my point, though, right? Like, yes. He, like him, you got like Mitch, Darnold. Like, these guys, he gave it time, and they're not cut out for being full-time guys.
That's enough, because we're getting sidetracked.
I mean, you can say the same thing about Mitch, too.
He said Mitch like 3 times.
Oh, yeah. Mitch was like the first guy that came out of my mouth.
He said Mitch like 3 times.
Sorry, I'm going.
Nah, but you just got completely sidetracked because I was about to transition off your point. Then you started rambling for another 10 minutes. Because I wanted to transition out of what you said. You mentioned Tua and how he led a marvelous comeback. But there was another team, and this is very biased, and I'm okay with it, that led a more impressive comeback. History is saying that it was a more impressive comeback, so I don't really care what people say. And that was the New York Jets coming from behind and beating the Cleveland Browns, making Castle depressed the rest of his Sunday. And I was very happy about that because he picked the Cleveland Browns in a survivor pool, and I was laughing at him all day. But they were the first team in over 20 years to come back from down 13 or more points in the final 90 seconds of a football game.
Which is hard for me to be fully mad. Listen, it's a New York team that has needed this win badly, and they did it in the best fashion possible. Yeah, I got bumped out of my survivor pool. That's not why I was depressed on Sunday. My number one pick getting less than 10 points, that's why I was depressed. But in all seriousness, it was very nice to see both New York teams get it done this week.
And coincidentally, all four New York teams in play getting a win. That is the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, and the Yankees for the first time since 2009, all getting a win on the same day. But talking about the Jets for a little bit, it was really a tale of like three quarters and one quarter. For three quarters, it was just mediocre football where, yes, they were going back and forth with the Browns, really not giving an inch, but not really like being able to capitalize at all. Then all of a sudden, that fourth quarter, it looked like the Browns were pulling away. Nick Chubb scores a late touchdown with a minute 40 left, his third of the day. Everyone's like, okay, this game is over. Cool Joe Flacco says, no, sir. Marches down the field, 66-yard touchdown to Corey Davis. Onside kick recovered. Then Garrett Wilson scores his second of the game. And all of a sudden, the Jets won the game. Just like that. It was one of the greatest games that I could remember. I've never seen a comeback, obviously, like that. But just the way that this team, this young team, led by a backup quarterback, and yes, they were going up against a backup quarterback in the Browns, but the Browns are a very much more talented roster, and the Jets being able to do that on the road, coming from behind, showing no sort of quit when they easily could have, being down double digits late, and to find a way to pull off the win really was just special. I don't know what you guys think, just being non-Jet fans, being football fans, what do you think of that?
I think it's like I said, it's a very refreshing thing for the Jets. I think that they've had a lot of downs these past few seasons, and management behind the scenes has been making a lot of great moves. I like the Saleh hire immediately. I think what he brings to his team is very similar to what Dable brings to the Giants. They bring a culture of get it done, do your job, fight till the end. And I think when you have a lot of young guys that you're putting that out there to, I think it even helps the case even more because they're young and hungry. I have no doubts of what the Jets can do. I think it's, you know, like every team that's rebuilding, it's going to take some time, but I do not think they're the worst team in that division. I think they're going to be better than the Patriots. And I think the fight that we saw from this game is a preview of what we'll see with them this season with a couple games. The only question that I have for you, Josh, is did you feel that the offense was adjusted better to Flacco this game? Or do you feel that it was more of momentum and kind of just exposing some holes with Cleveland secondary?
I think I could answer. I think it's a little bit of both, because a much more clean pocket for Joe Flacco compared to the Baltimore game definitely played a factor, because he had a very solid game the entire game, with the exception of the Jadeveon Clowney forced fumble, which was the only turnover of the game for the Jets. And then Myles Garrett getting a sack, because that's all he does, and it's expected at some point. There was one other time that he was hit. Other than that, pressure was very limited, and he was able to move out of the pocket much better than he did in the Ravens game. But it was also momentum towards the end, for sure. You were able to tell that once the Jets scored that Corey Davis touchdown, then the Cleveland fan base got very tense and worried. Then the onside kick happened. Then all you hear is just boos. The Jets recover. You knew magic was going to happen as soon as Joe Flacco stepped on the fields. I don't think it really would have mattered who was at quarterback for that drive, because the Browns defense looked helpless then. They were going on that field and they were like, oh shit, we know what's about to happen. And there was no stopping the Jets offense that drive. That was fully momentum. And it was like poetry in motion. It was a beautiful sight to see. And TJ, you have a fun fact that you want to add in. I'm curious what this is.
Yeah. So speaking of, like, you know, the Jets comeback and whatnot, because of that comeback, it is also the first time that both the Jets and the Giants won, but both the Lions and the Jacksonville Jaguars won on the same day for the first time since December 11th, 2011. I just thought, shout out to the Jets for making that fact possible.
Sorry, I just got a little sidetracked as Oswaldo Cabrera just did a grand slam, but that's a crazy fun fact. I saw that on Sunday. I mean, it makes sense because those teams have been very limited in wins the past few years, but I really do think those four teams that you mentioned have a lot of upside. I really, really like what Dan Campbell is doing with the Lions.
Oh,
specifically their offense, I think it could be a well-oiled machine. And even Jared Goff looks very comfortable, which I'm happy for him. I have no problems, no issues with Jared Goff. Their offense, Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like a top five receiver right now. There is no solution to him. They have two running backs that look like a dynamic duo right now, and Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift.
And the scary thing is, Jameson Williams hasn't even taken a snap yet.
Yeah, and Jameson Williams could, the second he touches the field, could be the fastest guy in the league. He's going to give Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill a run for their money, because I believe at Alabama he was faster than Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, that's nuts. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears are the last team in that division. I think.
I mean, it's possible, but even though they beat you on Sunday night, I'm not sold with the Green Bay Packers at all. I think the Vikings are winning the North. They had a very bad showing against the Eagles, but I think that was a fluke. I think their offense can produce at a much higher rate than what they showed.
Oh yeah. And plus Kirk Cousins doesn't play well on Monday night, except for when he plays the Bears. But even then, he doesn't even play well. He does enough to beat them.
What's that record now? Is it 2-10?
2-10, 2-12, something like that. Yeah, in primetime games. So I got a question for you, and I want to hear from TJ because we haven't heard from him much. So and we're gonna go around the horn. I want everyone to answer. So sorry, TJ, for going first. But I want you to give me one team through the first two games that you're a little worried about. And yes, it's okay if this is an overreaction. It's a podcast. We're allowed to overreact, so it's fine. But from the first two games, who is a team that I'll start, and I'm sure I'm going to be taking someone's, but that's okay. I'm just going to start to allow you guys to have some more time. I'm going to say the Colts. I think it's very obvious that was going to be said first or second, because they were most people's favorite to come out of the AFC South. And right now they are horrible. They look much worse than last year, even though it's the same team except at quarterback, where they were supposed to upgrade. Moving on from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan, the drop-off is real somehow. Matt Ryan looks like he should have been out of the league 5 years ago with how he's playing. He looks uncomfortable in the pocket. Jonathan Taylor is nowhere to be found, but I think that'll change. Castle, I know you're freaking out. You're worried. I think that'll change.
It's only because last season he was so good for me and then choked in the playoffs for me. So that's the skepticism, but so,
yeah, his playoff run has carried into the start of this year, which is why Castle's so worried. But I do think that'll change. I really like Jonathan Taylor, and Stevie's obviously a fanboy of his, being the Wisconsin fan he is. But I think Jonathan Taylor just needs to be utilized more, because if the run game's not there, he is just as effective in the pass game. Look at how McCaffrey and Kamara are so effective these days. Jonathan Taylor is no different than them. He's not a Derrick Henry where he's just going to run the ball and that's it. He is very similar to Kamara. He's very similar to McCaffrey, where he could be used in so many different ways. They have other receivers. They have a lot of injuries, which is definitely a factor, but to lose 23-24 to the Jaguars is just embarrassing. And now the Jaguars are in sole possession of first place right now. They're the only team in the AFC South to win. And two teams have already played each other in the AFC and the AFC South, and they tied. The Colts need to turn it around fast, because with the way they are playing, I have no faith in them. But I do think it'll start with getting Jonathan Taylor the ball more and finding creative ways to get him the ball, and then that'll start to change. So, TJ, now I've given you some more time. I'll let you go.
Yeah, and I greatly appreciate that, because I was going to say the Bengals, but I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. I
see a little pattern here. I like this.
I think they are dead in the water.
I like that. AFC South continuing that little tradition.
Yep. It was a stunner in week one. Saquon ran all over them, and it came down to a missed field goal.
Okay, that could have been a fluke, you think?
Right, and then they go into a Monday night game against the Bills, and in front of a very rowdy Bills home crowd, and lost 41-7. Derrick Henry had 25 yards on 13 carries. The receiving core was shut down. Robert Woods had four receptions for 39 yards. Austin Hooper had one for 19. Burks had four for 47. What's going on in Tennessee, boys?
And the fact that they pulled Tannehill and put in Malik Willis.
In
just such a bad situation for him to get his debut with the Bills defense rolling like that on Monday Night Football. What a horrible, horrible situation for Malik Willis. I'm happy you said them because over the Bengals, because I'm sure Castle wants to talk about that, or if not, then we'll go over that later. But the Titans, look, people would have thought the Colts or the Titans are the easy favorite to win the AFC South, and they still very easily could, because we're only two games into the year. There's 15 more games to be played, but you're feeding Derrick Henry, which is good. He's only getting less than 30 yards. That's not too good. Ryan Tannehill is just making some very questionable throws. His decision-making is, I don't know what it is or what he's seeing, but I'm just seeing some very poor throws. And yes, I knew there would be a talent drop-off losing A.J. Brown, but you replace him with Robert Woods. You bring in Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks has a lot of potential, and he made some good plays early in the game when he was getting targeted, and then it just seemed like in the third and fourth quarter the game was just over and they stopped targeting him. I really don't know what to expect from the Titans the rest of this year, and I do think it is very panic mode for the Titans, honestly, more so than the Colts maybe.
Yeah, and one last thing, and you kind of touched on it with like feeding Derrick Henry. Yeah, they're feeding him, which is good, but he only has 114 yards in the first two games of the season.
And
we're used to Derrick Henry being King Henry, rushing through any defensive front he sees and rushing for like 150 yards and three touchdowns a game.
It's more so, okay, he got shut down by the Giants. That was weird because Giants defense is not one of the top defenses. The Bills, yes, that is one of the top rush defenses, but you look at his game last year where he played the Buffalo Bills, over 30 carries, over 150 yards, three touchdowns. It really doesn't matter who he's facing. He is just going through them like it's nothing.
And he had that infamous stiff arm last year.
Stiff arm heard around the world. Yeah.
Yep.
It's very worrisome if they're feeding Derrick Henry. and he's just not able to be Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's I'd hit panic button and I'd hit it very fast.
I'm sure that Tennessee Titan fans are as well. Yeah, so I want to hear who you have, and then Stevie will go after.
I was going to go with the Bengals, but I guess that's too obvious. All I'll say about them is Super Bowl hangover. I think it's a real thing. But the team I want to talk about, and I don't know how much they should be panicking, but they are an 0-2 team, and they made a big move in the offseason that I think a lot of people thought would push them forward, even in a tough division. And that's the Raiders. They just lost to the Cardinals in overtime. And the craziest stat, I think, from that game is Devontae Adams wasn't even their leading receiver. I think he did have a touchdown. I think he had less than 20 receiving yards. They just signed Max Crosby to this huge extension. They picked up Chandler Jones, veteran outside linebacker, line presence. You know, let's not talk about defense with them for a minute, because the defense is good, but it's not something that we should be saying top three defense, top five defense, panic, panic, panic. Let's talk about the offense for a minute and who their new head coach is, who I don't like, Josh McDaniels. I don't like his shenanigans with the Patriots. He had whatever he pulled in Denver, whatever. But this guy is an offensive guy who worked with arguably one of the best quarterbacks of all time for all those years, who worked with a bunch of different receivers. And you're telling me that you can't find a way to get Devontae Adams the ball more, who has this duo with Derek Carr? I know it's only week two, but if that's not something that was figured out in preseason and training camp, and you're already having that lack of play now, that's going to get tougher and tougher as defenses are going to be able to figure out more what this offense is about. Also, Josh Jacobs, I know he's coming back, getting into the groove, but it's a little concerning too. He didn't score last week. He was under 100 rushing yards, had over 10 carries. So this was supposed to be, again, they're in one of the toughest divisions in football. So that's already thrown at them, which I understand. But every other team in the division has a win. And I thought the Raiders were more likely to be successful right out of the gate than the Broncos. So if I'm Vegas, I'm saying to myself, we just lost a very bad game in overtime. We're 0-2. We need to figure out not only fix some stuff with the offense, but figure out how to get the defense going. And we know who's in charge of their defense right now.
I agree on your point about the Raiders. The Devontae Adams part, I'm not so sold on, only because look at how he did week one. 10 catches, 100 something yards, a touchdown or two. Like, I don't think the connection or the getting Devontae the ball is really an issue, because I think it is a focus of their offense.
Yeah.
Because it clearly was a focus point week one. And then the Cardinals just adjusted to it for week two. Like, it happens.
Which is crazy, because the Chargers have the much better secondary.
They do. And it just goes to game planning. No JC Jackson, I guess, is a huge factor.
Yeah, no, that is true. And maybe I shouldn't have put as much on Adams as I did. I will scale back a little bit on that. But overall, with the moves that they made, with the contracts that they've added, going 0-2 is not a good look for this team.
Dropping one game in the division already, that puts them behind the eight ball for sure. Stevie, I want to hear who you have.
Well, I think I was thinking two teams. I'll go with my one team. I think really we could see any team in the AFC North. The Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals. They all like the Ravens blowing that big lead last week to the Dolphins. The Steelers, obviously their offense doesn't look good at all. The Browns, you know, them blowing that lead and, you know, their offense, you know, without having a top guy quarterback, that's going to be tough. And then the Bengals, we all know they're, you know, they have their problems with the O-line, whatever. My team, even though they're 1-1, the Rams, the defending champions. And I'm not going to lie, Stafford has not looked that good this year. You know, even this game, he threw – the first game, he threw three picks, only one touchdown. This game, he threw three touchdowns, but two picks. So he's turned the ball over, and we know he does, but he's still doing that pretty high. And then really, yeah, Allen Robinson started to break out on the scene last week. But if it isn't for Cooper Kupp, their offense looks like it can't do anything. And you could tell they're missing guy like Andrew Whitworth or Von Miller. Like, you know, yes, they still have all these other dogs on the defense like Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, Jalen Ramsey. But the fact that they almost let the Falcons, who are always the ones that choke away big leads, the fact that they almost allowed them to come back and beat them in LA, yikes. So I don't know. Obviously, I think they'll still make the playoffs. I think they'll still end up being fine. It's like I said, it's only week two, but I'm not liking what I'm seeing from the Rams at all in the slightest. From what a Super Bowl contender, especially the defending champs, should be like. I can see the Bengals having a Super Bowl hangover because, quite frankly, no one thought they should even have been in it last year. They kind of just hit a good, you know, run and then took off. But everyone expected the Rams to be in the Super Bowl last year and possibly win it, and they did, you know. And the same for this year. So, not like what I'm seeing.
That's fair. Before we wrap up the show, it's time for our weekly starts and sit-ems. This week, we're going to try something new. We're each going to give one start, one sit.
That's because how bad it was last week?
Yeah, it was a pretty rough week, so we thought we'd change it up. And clearly, none of our fantasy teams were doing as well because of it. So, we need a little switch in the game plan. So, TJ, why don't you start us off? Give us both your start and sit.
Well, for right now, I have my start. You're going to have to give me a second to get my sit.
All right, we'll come back. We'll do starts first.
Yeah, perfect. So, I'm gonna say, yeah, start Curtis Samuel or Jahan Dotson versus Philly. Yeah, I know the secondary looks scary, but they're going to be focused on stopping Terry McLaurin, which is just going to open the door for softer coverage on Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson. And plus, Carson Wentz hasn't looked horrible. He's actually looked pretty okay, to say the least, at least to start the season. It's only been two games. There's enough time for him to be the full Carson Wentz that we all know and love. But at least right now he looks solid. And like I said before, I think Darius Slay is going to be covering Scary Terry, and it's going to soften up that secondary for Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson, either one of them or both if you have them. If you're a diehard Commanders fan, you probably have both of them. Start either one or both. It's a good matchup.
I like that Jahan Dotson one. We are, baby. Stevie boy. Let's hear your start.
And my start. So I don't know if it's a little too obvious. But if he plays, yeah, you gotta look at his injury, but I like Michael Pittman, the Colts. And I know they're getting a lot of heat, the Colts, because they haven't looked good at all, but I think a big reason why their offense was very non-existent last week was because Michael Pittman was out. So last year he turned into a top receiver. And then even week one, I mean, he had 9 catches, 121 yards and touchdown. And he's going against the Chiefs defense who, yeah, they're pretty solid, but they're still, like Mike Williams went off on them. Gerald Everett had a pretty good game. So I think, granted, those guys have Justin Herbert thrown to him. But I think Michael Pittman will have a good game. And if you got him, definitely I would play him. But just make sure he's clear for injury. So hopefully he's not out. But they're saying he returned to practice and looks like he should be good to go, for this week. So I'd play Michael Pittman.
Good pick. I think I'm playing Michael Pittman, so I hope he's out. Castle, you have a start this week?
I do. I believe it's someone that you have in one of your leagues. It is Mr. Cordarrelle Patterson. I say start him this week. They're on the road against Seattle. Judging by how Seattle did with a dual threat running back in their opener against Denver, I'm expecting Patterson to have a good season. I think they're going to look to use him not only in the run game, but some screen passes, maybe even a touchdown or two. Yes, I know there might be some skepticism because of what we saw with London last week, but Patterson has been a big part of this offense, and I'm expecting nothing less from him this week against a lower graded defense. So I say definitely start Patterson if you need to as number one. Go for it, but he's a great number two or flex.
I need Patterson to go off. He is the reason I lost last week. 4 points is not going to cut it for me. So come on, Patterson, I'm rooting for you.
I'm expecting at least double of that. I do not think he will get less than 8 points.
I'm really hoping so. He's going up against a weak defense. I need him. My start this week. This is a tough one. I was debating between a few people. I was crunching the numbers all day. I was in the lab trying to figure out the best possible situation, and I think I came up with my answer. He's a wide receiver. He's playing on Thursday Night Football, prime time, bright lights. Stevie's favorite quarterback is throwing to him. That's Deontay Johnson. Stevie's favorite quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, has connected to Deontay Johnson pretty early and frequently this year. The targets are up, and which is good to see because he is wide receiver number one on the Steelers. 12 targets game one, 10 targets game two, 7 and 6 catches each game. He's looking for that first touchdown. He's at 55-plus yards both games, so I'm really looking for him to feast. And he's playing the Browns. The Jets put up 31 points, so need I say more? Like, I think that any offense better than a mediocre offense will have success against the Cleveland Browns because their secondary really does not look impressive at all. Yes, they have Denzel Ward, but he was the one who was cooked by Corey Davis for a 66-yard touchdown. He looked lost and did not belong on a football field. So for the time being, Cleveland Browns defense is non-existent for me right now. Deontay Johnson, I'm expecting to get his first touchdown on Thursday Night Football in Cleveland.
I feel like mine is a little too obvious. Because I feel like if you have Michael Pittman, most times he's a must start.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
Well, another one just really quickly, just so I don't feel bad about myself. Rashad Bateman. I think he should be because he's a guy that you
can. So what happens if you miss on both now?
I love that pick.
Then I'm just not going to give any more. Thank you, Castle. But then, yeah, then you won't hear any more from me for this segment. So.
Works for me.
We'll see.
When I was watching, just to comment on the pick, when I was watching the highlight reels of that game, and when I looked at the connection between him and Bateman, if Bateman could stay
healthy. Lamar and Bateman, you mean?
Yeah. Between Lamar and Bateman. If Bateman can stay healthy, if Lamar can stay healthy throughout the entire season, that could be one of my favorite duos and maybe an underrated one. I'm not saying definitely, maybe.
It might be an underrated duo. We'll have to wait and see and find out. But it's time for our sits. And we'll reverse it around. So I'll go first. I'll give my sit, and then I'll wrap around to finish the show. My sit, I feel like it's going to be a common theme going forward. I know it's going to make Castle happy, and I'm sure it was a sit last week. But haven't seen any sort of results that have made me want to say, you know what? No, you should start him. No, that's not the case. It's Cam Akers. I'm sorry, Castle. I'm really sorry.
Sorry. I'm doing my start over him. I'm starting Patterson over him. So no hard feelings.
Perfect. Because Cam Akers, who everyone overdrafted, is, I guess, behind Daryl Henderson on the depth chart. Last week, it even seemed like Cam Akers was going to get more targets, and then Daryl Henderson ended up with better stats. I really don't know the deal is what the deal is there, but it's a messy situation for Cam Akers fans. And if that's the case, he's riding your bench for the next few weeks. It doesn't really matter who the matchup is, it seems like. So Cam Akers, you're riding the bench. We'll go Stevie.
All right. Mine's kind of like what TJ pulled in the starts, either a Dotson or a Samuel. I'm going to do either Lockett or a Metcalf. You know, if you got either or, I would sit because, yes, they were very successful with Russell Wilson, but those days are behind us. And Geno Smith, you know, hasn't been able to, especially DK. I didn't really get to see what Tyler Lockett did last week, but I just know that it's been tough. Like, he's not, like, not that Geno Smith's doing bad. Well, I know last week Geno Smith didn't do the greatest, but, you know, like, the first week, that Monday night game, he was, like, targeting the tight ends and stuff. And DK, like, you know, he's getting some catches, but he's getting, like, no yards and no touchdowns. So it's not worth it to play him, you know, until he – who knows, maybe this week they break out, but I don't know. I think it's safer to sit. And even if they do have one breakout game, I'd rather see consecutive ones. And I don't know. I think it's safer to sit and play someone else than to play them, banking on them having that breakout game. And then it just keeps getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And who knows if it'll even ever happen this season. So if you got either Lockett or especially Metcalf, sit them.
I like the logic. And I have Lockett, so you're making me second guess this week. So I'll have to find someone else to replace with them. So that's a good one. Castle, I'll let you go, and then TJ will wrap it up.
I just have a quick question. Steve, when you pick your sits, do you just look at my roster and just randomly pick a player? I have Metcalf, and now I'm considering benching him because of this. And it sucks because I took a gamble on that, but that's me. I just thought it was funny that you picked him. But anyways, my sit for this week is Mr. Hollywood Brown. And I'll tell you why I'm saying to sit him. He had a decent game last week against the Raiders defense, which we talked about is decent, nothing special. Now he's going up against the Rams defense this week, I believe in Los Angeles, with Hopkins being out. He's the number one receiver. So look at who his matchup is going to be against.
Well, Rondale Moore might be back.
So, okay, so let's say he is back. I still think Hollywood is going to be matched up a lot against Ramsey that game. I see Murray getting pressured a lot and scrambling, which to me indicates a lot of short passes to Zach Ertz or whoever their running back is that week. I don't know if it's going to be James Conner. If it is James Conner, if he's playing, he's going to be getting more passes than runs. And I just see Hollywood being very limited. So if you absolutely have to do it, but I think there are plenty of other options. I would even, in some leagues, he's available on the waiver wire. I would even shout out to the Jets. I'd even play Corey Davis over him this week. I would. So sit Hollywood.
And before we go, TJ, I did look at Tyler Lockett. Actually had a solid week last week. He had over 100 yards. So I'll direct mine more towards DK. I just wanted to, I don't like to put out false information, you know?
Right. And it's not just because of the yardage. Metcalf is on my team. So
Yeah. So Promise lucks out. He lucks out, but poor Castle. I'm sorry.
Good. So I'll start Lockett then. All right, TJ, let's hear yours.
I think mine could be, and it could be obvious, it could not be, but at least the rate that this season's going right now, sit Melvin Gordon this week.
That's my guy right there. I got Javonte Williams. That's my guy.
The Broncos.
And that was my start last week. That backfired.
The Broncos don't know. It looks like they don't know what the hell they're doing on offense. They're not utilizing Russell Wilson to the ability that he has that we've all seen over the years. And they just keep trying to force Melvin Gordon in with Javonte Williams. And it's just not working. I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett's the mastermind behind the corruption and demise of Russell Wilson, but it's not looking good for at least the running back room in Denver, at least right now. So give a sit to Melvin Gordon.
It pains me to hear that because I was so confident last week that he would score at least because of how the matchup favored the Broncos. And it was the bounce back game after a horrible Monday Night Football. And Nathaniel Hackett just doesn't know. It doesn't look like he knows that football. They're getting booed early in the game and rightfully so. Their offense just looks horrible. I don't know what is going on, but we'll have to take a deeper dive next week. We'll see how week three plays out. Crazy that it's already week three. It feels like week one was just yesterday, boys. Week three coming up. We're excited. We're going to talk some more football, obviously. Hopefully Aaron Judge breaks history, so we'll definitely be talking about that if that's the case. Quick shout out, OP Sports Betting. They are up. They are launched. They are fully up and running, so check them out for crypto sports betting. Livery Shirts makes the best dress shirts, custom button downs, you name it. All the Fox guys, NCAA, MLB, NFL, they're all dressed for the right occasion. They're looking good on air. So make sure you check them out. Get yourself a nice button down shirt. TJ, the man of many hats, a regular at this point. I don't even know why we give him a shout out because he's just one of us. He's a regular. Thank you for keeping up with our Instagram at the 3P podcast. He made a beautiful post yesterday about the three defensemen who retired, Chara, PK Subban, and Keith Yandel, Ranger legend for only a year, Mr. Iron Man.
And he better be getting that post ready for Judge when Judge breaks this record.
He's got those Instagram fingers locked and loaded.
Don't you worry. I got the fastest Instagram fingers this side of the Mississippi.
Sources say he's got three phones ready for this occasion, but he won't confirm nor deny those statements. So we'll have to wait and see if it's true. And finally, Kevin, Wild Chat Sports, a great partner of ours. We love being partners with them. And Kevin has some great content coming out as well in the next few weeks. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that. And thank you all the listeners. We keep doing it for you guys. So if you keep listening, we'll keep pumping out content. So stay tuned for next week and have a good night, everyone.